Hey Mama, I'm your host, Brooke Jefferson. I'm a wife, mama to two, and business coach for moms with businesses. I'm on a mission to help you go from the best kept secret to a reputable brand that results in a profitable business. And the best part, you don't have to sell your soul to social media to achieve it. My very first business was a photography business that I started back in 2014, and by 2018, it became my full-time career, and I was able to leave the classroom. Along the way, I've built and scaled multiple six-figure businesses. I started this podcast as a way to encourage, equip, and inspire you on your entrepreneurial journey. If you're ready to find a community that supports you, implement strategies in your business that work, and uncover that confidence within you, this podcast is for you. Grab your kids some snacks and pop those earbuds in. It's time to grow and scale your business. Hi, Faith. Welcome to the show. I am excited to share you with my audience because I've known you for quite some time now, and I know that you are going to give them some amazing skills and tips to help their website be even better towards the second half of our conversation. But first, tell everyone who you are and what you do.
Well, thanks, Brooke. I'm excited to hang out with you again and to get to love on your people and just really, you know, pour out what I've got, you know? So I am a wife, mama of two, soon to be three, worship leader, barrel racer, like wrangler of tiny humans. And for my paid job, I'm an SEO consultant and copywriter. I have to like, you know, clarify like the paid job part because I feel like the other jobs, like they never end. And I'm always texting my husband, like, do I get time off? Do I get a smoke break? Even though I don't smoke, like, when's my lunch hour? When's my PTO?
That's so funny.
Anyone who's a mom on here knows that it is nonstop. And I actually, my oldest is six and my soon to be middle, sounds crazy to say, is three, and we're homeschooling and just, so I am very involved.
Yes, you are. But I feel like you do such a great job.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. So fun facts, we're both in Oklahoma, which I always think is interesting to say. It's just not very common to find very many, you know, entrepreneurs or moms that are business owners in Oklahoma. I feel like we always miss out on the cool meetups, but I do know that they're happening. I just don't live near the city. So for me, it's kind of like it just doesn't happen. But okay, so I love to go backwards before we go forwards. And I want to know, when you were a child and you were growing up, what vision did you have for your life and what did you want to be?
Oh, good grief. Okay, so I grew up in a family full of teachers. My mom was a teacher, aunt and uncle were teachers, like their in-laws were teachers at all the gatherings. And so for a while, I was like, I want to be a teacher. And then I realized that teachers worked their butts off for like $0 almost. And like the main reason my mom was a teacher is, I mean, she's really great with kids, but she really wanted to be a teacher because she got the summers off and she could rodeo. And I come from a rodeo family. So then this like switch flipped and I was like, I'm not going to be a teacher. I don't want to do that. And so when I was little, I mean, like I there was a variety of things, but I was always really driven and always like, I'm going to go big or I'm going to go home, like in whatever I was doing. And so at one point I was actually studying for the LSATs to go to law school. I really liked business and marketing, even at a young age. I have always / still want to rodeo professionally and barrel race. And so like, I've just always had like this really big drive to do whatever I could with what the Lord put in my hand. And I mean, I actually went to Bible school and like, I guess technically I've been in part-time ministry for, I don't know, ever, like 20 years. I don't know if you want to call it that. I've just been serving in my church forever. And so I've just always wanted to use my gifts and use my passions and really partner with the Lord in that. And in different seasons, that has looked different. You know, I was totally the kid that had a lemonade stand on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. where like my dad and like one other person were my only customers, you know, and I was totally the kid that was like, I remember sitting in my bedroom with an empty bottle of hairspray that I had refilled with water that I was pretending was this like magic potion, and I was marketing it and selling it in all these magnificent ways, like the infomercial guy on TV was. And so I've just always been really driven and like, I see in hindsight the entrepreneurial spirit, you know, and that marketing brain that I have, but it's just always been like this drive to do whatever I could with what God had given me.
Oh goodness. I love that so much. And I always talk about my favorite thing is, you know, when you're going through something, you don't usually see how it all flows together until you turn around and look backwards. Then you can see how God literally weaved piece by piece your story to get you to where you are today. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into copywriting and SEO? How did you become the expert for that?
Well, funny story. So I took this course with Jordan Dooley, and I literally don't even remember the name of it, but it was something about like figuring out your passions. Cause I had a job, you know, it was a good job working for the city, and like, but I was bored. Like my brain, I was like, I was just like data entry, like legal stuff. And it was really boring. I was like, I need something for my brain. And so I had been like reading business books and doing things and experimenting and had like a couple of like small product businesses, but I knew that I wanted to do something online and you know, just really use these gifts that I was passionate about. And so through this course, I somehow came up with this idea and working with Jordan Dooley to be a starter strategist, whatever in the world that is. We just made it up because I'm really good at like getting people to start stuff. Like I'll jump out of the airplane and build my parachute on the way down. And I have a lot of people that I've just been like, just start it. And then they start the thing, whatever the thing is. And so I was going to be this starter strategist. And within that group, there was another girl that was a branding strategist. She did branding. And we kind of connected. And I was like, hey, I'm looking to do some work trade for somebody. And she's like, well, I am too. And I was like, well, I've always been a wordsmith. I can do copywriting. And I just did it. And I was like, let's trade. And so I wrote her copy and she did my branding. And about a couple weeks into that project, I turned to my husband. I was like, I could do this. Like, I really enjoy doing this. And this whole starter strategist thing, I literally made up. It's not even a thing. Nobody knows what it is. And so I'm like trying to market a thing that's made up. Like, how dumb is that, Faith? And so I just started copywriting and I just kind of put myself out there and I was like, hey, you suck with words. I'm good with words. Let me help you make your thing not suck. And so I just kind of, I had been blogging for myself for a while, but I knew I wanted to make money with it. And so I kind of got into this website copywriting, content writing business and just, I'm pretty fearless. And so I would just pitch and just like call somebody up and be like, hi, your website sucks. Not really. I didn't actually say that, but like, let me help you. Here's a plan to help you. And just started getting clients that way. And then I kind of evolved into SEO, but that's another part of the story.
Oh my goodness. That is so crazy. I envy those of you that are completely fearless. I mean, I consider myself to be driven and ambitious, but I don't know that I would describe myself as fearless. So props to you, because you do take some what would seem to someone else is like a scary leap, or you're getting out of your comfort zone. And I love how you just kind of created this business. You were like, yeah, I'm good at this. Here we go. This is my business. That is incredible. What did the early days look like for you when you first started copywriting? Were you able to book clients? Were you doing mostly like word of mouth or, you know, cold reach outs? What did that look like in your early days of business?
So my very first paying client, I'm trying to remember how I found her. I think I found her in a Facebook group, and she was just like, is just this incredible entrepreneur. You like created this product shop, you like partnering with artisans in Colombia. But she's, English is not her native language. And so she just wasn't confident in like her own writing, her own content or anything like that. And so we just worked out a deal and like I'll do this project. I think I did for like 5 hours. And I was like, I don't know how long it's going to take me. I have a baby. Like, I have a baby that I'm still figuring out how to keep alive, you know, like new mom stage. And so I was basically just helping her put her things into better verbiage. And I remember the first check I got, I had asked her for half down, you know, 50% down of the project. And the first check I got was for $75. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so legit. This is amazing. And so like starting off, like it was really pretty slow. And I mean, I picked up clients on Facebook, and there were some clients that, like, honestly, like in hindsight, I'm like, ugh, like I wish I hadn't worked with them, right? I was like, I don't want to say grasping at straws, but like they weren't a good fit. And, you know, some of those I kind of knew at the time, like in my gut, didn't listen, booked the project, was really glad to be done with it. And then some of them were just really fun, genuine connections. And, I would say, like, I don't know, about a year in, I started getting some consistency. And, you know, my business was not the main breadwinning for our family. It was just kind of like a little fun thing for me to use my brain and like contribute some. And most of it, I honestly reinvested into the business, you know, learning more things and equipment and stuff like that. And then I don't know, like who doesn't want more clients, right? Like even still, I'm like, oh, I could handle another one of this client or another one of this, but business has been pretty consistent for about a year now, you know, and even when I was starting out, I was working like maybe 5 hours a week, if that, and now I'm working 15. So I've gotten a lot better at what I do. I've gotten a lot faster, but it still is not like, I mean, I'm not bringing home 100K a month yet, and I'm not working 40 hours a week. So like, but it's a really happy middle place for me where we're at with our family and finances and stuff. So yeah.
I love that you shared all of that. I love the glimpse of the humble beginning. I love that you started off slow and then began to get more consistent and gain more of that traction. So I'm curious because, you know, you painted this picture of, I don't want to use the word busy, but how involved you are. You've got so much going on and, you know, everything coming at you from every direction. And I would love to know, what is your desire for your business, and why is having a business important amongst all the other things you guys have going on?
So truly my heart in business is to help entrepreneurs get in front of and serve the right people. I primarily work with Christian entrepreneurs just because I'm unashamed about my faith and I talk about Jesus everywhere. And so, you know, people who aren't Christians don't always want to work with me, and that's fine. You know, whatever, like doesn't bother me. But like my heart of hearts is to really help people use their gifts and shine with their gifts. And so I truly believe that God has given each of us gifts to bring him glory. And that includes in the marketplace and serving in my local church and, you know, out at rodeos and taking my daughter to gymnastics and not acting like a fool at a competition, you know, stuff like that. And so for my business, I just really want to use the gifts that I've been given to bless others. And, you know, as far as what that looks like for my family and our finances, like we have goals, you know, my husband and I have goals and we're wanting to build a house and good gravy. I want a barrel race and I have barrel horses and those things like eat money and poop work. And so, you know, there's things that's like, you know, financially having a business helps, but first and foremost, like I'm a mom of young kids. And so I don't want to work 40, 60, 80 hours a week, like 20 hours, maybe 25 during a launch is my absolute max. And I personally want to be super plugged in and super involved with my kids and then do business during certain hours. And that seems to work really well for us.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. And I really, you know, love that you pointed out serving, using the gifts that God has given us, because I believe everyone has their own gifts and their own skills. And I also think that this is why moms seem to always have multiple passions, right? Like we're more than a mom. We're more than just a wife. We're more than just a business owner. And so I think it's such a beautiful journey to go on and be able to pour into something other than just our kids or just our husband, but to have this business and be able to pour into other people. So, okay. So you mentioned that SEO is a whole nother story. So here you are copywriting. You're being a wordsmith for those that, as you said, their website copy sucks. So how did you pivot into SEO?
Well, so I have this client who I worked with for like a year and a half, and I just loved them dearly. They produced an animal feed product. And I got access to the back end of their website, and I had just revamped my own website on Squarespace and like spit shined it up and had these beautiful pictures and my branding package and just put in hours and hours and hours, like making it so quote perfect. And, you know, all of these things that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous. And obviously I'm a copywriter. So I'm like, oh, my copy's on point, like just waiting for the people to come to me. And then I get access to this client's analytics, and they literally had another digit on their traffic. And I'm like, what even? Because their website was buggly. Like, they hadn't had any content at all before I started working with them. And I'm like, what in the heck? Like, why do they get so much more traffic? And obviously, like, they were an established business and there's other factors there. But I started digging into them, like, well, what platform are they on? Okay, what causes traffic? Like, what makes more traffic? And so I just started digging and digging and digging, and it took forever to make sense of all the stuff that I found on the internet about SEO. And so slowly I started trying a couple things with one client, and then I would try some SEO things with another client, and I would try some different things with another client, and it worked. And I'm like, oh, snap. Like, this is working. Oh, maybe I'm onto something. And then I had a client that I had contracted to do some work for, and she wanted me to set up some things that I was like, well, I don't know how to set it up, but I'll figure it out. And she's like, okay, great, go for it. And I remember, like, I saved the part of the project that I was not looking forward to till the very end of our contract, of course. And I remember sitting at my desk, like about ready to punch a hole in the wall, like slamming my hand on, like, and my fist on the desk, trying to get a workable definition for a simple analytics term. And I had watched hours of YouTube videos, hours of a paid course that I had access to about SEO, read and read and read and read so many things to finally get a working definition of the term tags for Google Analytics. Like, and I'm like, why is this so complicated? Why does everybody not use normal language to describe what this stupid thing is? And so after I like calmed down and had a snack, maybe took a nap, I don't know, I realized, like, if it was this hard for me, it's probably really hard for everybody else too. And SEO is just like a black hole of confusingness and like weird tech jargon. And I had figured out some things that worked, and then had to literally start putting together a list of definitions for myself on a whiteboard so that I knew what this word meant when I read it, because it was so confusing. And so then I was like, oh, dang, what if I pivoted a little bit and really focused on SEO friendly copy and SEO consulting and helping people make sense of, you know, search engine optimization and how that can help their business and how they can increase their traffic. And so since then, since I've really niched in and nailed in on like helping people with this specific thing, like, it's just been really cool to see what that's done, how God has used that, and like how that has just grown my business and helped so many other people with their businesses.
Yes, SEO. I remember, you know, in the earlier years of my business, not having a clue in the world what that was. I knew it was important. People would talk around it, but nobody was explaining what it was and how to use it. And you are literally the solution, because not only do you teach us what it is, you teach us how to use it. And so I really want to, you know, narrow in on your niche and your expertise. And I would love for the moms listening to be able to get, you know, a business tip or two of how can they improve their own SEO and really understand what that means through keywords and, you know, help their copy as well to reach their ideal clients.
Yeah, of course. I'm all about the practical, right? Like, you can talk over my head all day, but make it make sense for me, please. Like, make the math math. So when it comes to like somebody's website, like, I'm always a huge proponent of like, let's make your website the hub of your online presence. Like, let's drive the traffic there. Let's get traffic from there. Like, let's put that time and effort into there, into your website. And then, you know, repurpose strategically, but like, let's not build on rented ground. So I always want mamas and business owners in general to focus on their website. And a couple, like just two really simple tips, and I'll give you the tips first and then I'll elaborate, that I have come up with that are just, I think, really applicable to y'all is, number one, I want you to build your website around keywords that people are actually searching. And then number two, I want you to have customer-centric copy, because if your website sounds like it's written by a robot and written for a robot, nobody's going to buy from you no matter how much foot traffic you have. So the first tip, like, so to build your website around keywords that people are actually searching. So there's so much out there on market research. There's so much out there in like identifying your ideal client avatar, what their favorite coffee is, what color they wear, where they shop, like, blah, 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 which is whatever. But the point I'm trying to help people with is like, if your website doesn't answer questions that people are already searching, then they're not going to find you. And so often we assume that people are phrasing things a certain way when really they're not. You know, I might use words like fiddle farting, how to stop fiddle farting around in the morning and get crap done. But is anybody else actually using that word? Probably not. And so until I actually dig in and do the keyword research, I don't actually know how people are searching for a copywriter in Oklahoma until I dig in and do the keyword research. And so my first tip for people wanting to, you know, get more SEO savvy is you've got to dig in and do the keyword research. And there are about 1.5 billion tools out there. None of them are very user-friendly except for the one that I use and love, and it's called Ubersuggest. It is like $300 for a lifetime license, or you can get the free plugin on Google Chrome. The plugin can't do quite as much as the paid version, obviously, but it's a great place to get you started. And then you can sit there and you can compare things like, are people searching for, you know, a business coach, or are they searching for a business consultant? Are people searching for a photographer, or are they searching for how to be a photographer? Like, are they searching for, you know, paleo recipes, or are they searching for low carb recipes? Like, what are people actually searching? And then let's structure our SEO strategy around what they're searching so that we're not trying to do what little baby business Faith did and like invent a thing, like made up word, tell people they need the thing, and then try to get them to search for the thing. Like, no, like, let, like, I know, you know, the old adage, like, build it and they will come. Like, no, you got to build where the people are, like location, location, location. And keywords position your website to be found.
Yes, that is crucial, crucial. I hate that quote. I think the whole saying of, you know, build it and they will come, not if they don't know you exist and not if they don't know that you are the solution to their problem. And so this is where the keywords and the SEO and of course the copywriting really are going to help speak to those clients and help you get found, you know, on the world wide web. So tell us a little bit. So obviously you shared the tool Ubersuggest, and you have plenty of podcast episodes about how to do this on their own. And of course, I'll let you plug in your podcast here in just a bit. But the other part, you know, tip number two, you were talking about having this centric copy for their particular client or customer. What does that mean and how do they do that?
So I always want people to have customer-centric copy. And what that essentially means is like, speak to your people on your website in their language and like they are the center of the universe, the center of your business's universe, you know? And there's, if you've ever read the Cliff Notes version of that 7 rules for influencing people and making friends, I've only read the Cliff Notes, just being honest. One of those is to let people talk about themselves. We all love to talk about ourselves, read about ourselves, and listen to things and learn about things that are like directly for us. But in business, it's really easy to just, you're trying to toot your own horn. You're trying to tell people how great you are at your thing. It's really easy to position yourself on your website like, look at me, I'm so awesome, I'm the best ever, please come buy my stuff. And meanwhile, your customer has a problem, right? They have inward focused eyeballs at the moment with a problem that they need help with. And so when you are too busy tooting your own horn on your website and not speaking to the solution that they're looking for, you're really missing so much valuable connection and so many valuable sales with them because you're too busy talking about this song and dance that you just learned. And so what I always, like when I have a copywriting client, I spend probably 80% of my time on the above the fold statement. And what that is on your homepage, the verbiage that somebody sees before they scroll. So if it were a newspaper, like before they unfold it, I spend 80% of my time on that little one sentence, if that, of copy, because that part of your website is going to make or break your copy. It's going to make or break your customer's experience, it's going to make or break your traffic and your bottom line, because if it is too confusing, people are out. If it's too long, people are out. And it has to be something that clearly communicates that you understand their problem and you can solve their problem while still keeping them as the hero of the story.
Okay, amazing. I'm going to put you on the spot. So if you need a minute to pull something up, totally fine. I would love for you to give an example of what maybe yours or somebody else's website that is a good example of what you are explaining.
Okay. So let me give you a bad example first, and then I'll give you a good example. So photographers, I love photographers. I've worked with photographers, Second Shot. So like my brain thinks photographer language. So here you go. So many photographers want to talk about like, have a fun time skipping through wildflowers, like, you know, dancing with your favorite photographer, a photographer that'll be your best friend, like blah, blah, blah. They don't care. They want pictures that they don't look stupid in. Right. So your above the fold statement needs to speak to that. Like pictures that make you feel beautiful. Wedding photos as beautiful as the day you've envisioned. Like cut the crap and just speak to their pain point and stop making it about you. And then like for, let's say a life coach, it's like, man, I'm having a hard time thinking of a bad example, but like life coaches are like, find your purpose, like find your inner you, or like handhold. I mean, and it's like, no, like people want to know what to do with their lives. Help figuring out what to do with your lives. Is it as like fancy and frilly as like all of the other language? No. And those weren't very good, bad examples. Probably because I like spend all of my brain power, like coming up with good examples and I'm like pushed all the bad examples out. But like answer their question. Don't try to fluff around it. Don't try to frill it up. Like just cut the crap and cut to the chase. And answer their question. Can you help them? And then if you can't, like, fine, who cares? Somebody else will be there for you to help. But that above the fold statement is just like make or break.
Okay, I love it. First of all, I'm impressed that you can come up with examples at all on the spot. So congrats to you. That's awesome. One of the most overused statements, you brought up photographers and my brain immediately went there, is something about, let me help you make lifelong memories or memories you'll cherish for a lifetime. And I'm like, oh my Lord, if another person says that. So such great examples. And I also love how you're just like blunt and it's like, cut the crap because it's not helping your business. Yeah. So yeah, your little fiery personality is so helpful. Okay, so I know that you have an incredible podcast, and I would, first of all, love for you to plug that, and then also, where can people follow along, get more information, and potentially hire you for your services?
Well, thanks, Brooke. I appreciate that. So my podcast is Simple SEO and Marketing, and that's really the best place to come and learn. I've just got droves and droves and droves of episodes, like dishing all of the things. And I try to keep everything pretty concise and pretty like point here, click here, do this thing. Cause ain't nobody got time to listen to somebody ramble. Like, and my website is faithhannon.com and you can connect with me there. I'm not really on social media much. So really my website and email me there, info@faithhannon, and my podcast is the best way to connect with me. And I would love for you guys to email me and just be like, hi, I listen to you, I'm Brooke and you're a dork, but you know, have a nice life or whatever.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Okay. Before I let you go, because you said it out of your mouth about how you were not really active on social media, I just want to dive into this last little topic because I think it's going to give a lot of freedom for the moms who are struggling with, can I even run a business without social media? Just want to hear your take on that and, you know, how you approach mm-hmm. social media at all, whether that's it's just completely negative for you or you're a sometimes person. Would just love to hear your perspective.
So for me, it's not like this whole, I can't handle it mentally thing. Like I'm on Facebook just sometimes with like for my friends, right? Like for my personal account. But as far as like for my business, there were times when I was like really pouring into my Instagram account, like really trying to build a following and build a business with leads there. And like, I'm pretty marketing savvy, right? Like I can read between the lines and do whatever the platform wants and like make it happen, right? And one of my best friends has built like a huge following, like 80,000 or 100,000 people. I don't even know, like huge following, had huge success. And I could be like, hi, tell me what to do. And she would tell me, right? But I just saw that like my efforts there weren't paying off. Like I would pour into this, like create this stuff and like have crickets for leads. Like I think I've had like maybe one lead off of my Instagram account. And so in January of this year, my church always does. We do like a 10-day Daniel fast. And I'm like, listen, I don't eat anything that I can fast. Like, I don't eat crap. I don't eat sugar. Like, I don't know that I'd give up coffee. I have two small children. Like, So I gave up social media for those 10 days. And then 10 days turned into 20 days and 20 days turned into a month. And here we are, summertime, and I haven't posted on Instagram since. And my business has grown eightfold since this time last year, you know? And so for me, it wasn't worth the time and the effort. And I'm only working 15 to 20 hours a week. Like I've got to put my time where it's effective because I don't want to be on Instagram all the time. And I did find that like when I was not on there and not worried about pleasing the algorithm, I'm more present with my kids. You know, I'm not like taking videos of my horses while I'm feeding, so I have something to show in my stories. Like if I take a video of my horse while I'm feeding my horses, because my horse is being ridiculous and I think it's funny and I want to show my husband, like it's something like that. And I just felt like I'm much more able to be present in my real life, air quotes, my real life with my real people. And I mean, I've made a lot of friends on social media, like legit friends. It's not like, and I haven't gotten a lot of hate or a lot of shade or anything like that. It's just, it's not really where I want to invest, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, I appreciate your perspective. And I know a lot of us, we just feel that heaviness of we want to let it go, but we're not sure we can. And, you know, I think it just depends on you as a person, your lifestyle. Are you seeing the ROI of your efforts? And also, if you're at the very beginning of your business, you kind of just have to give it time to see if that's really the right place for you. But I think it's just so inspiring hearing your perspective and just knowing like, hey, the show does go on with or without being on Instagram. So thank you for that insight. Thank you for all of your knowledge and letting us in on your story. And I'm excited for people to hop on over to your podcast and start binging that.
Well, thanks, Brooke. I appreciate it.